Well, now that your expectations are very high and you're prepared for a super long sermon, I just want to say, first of all, thank you so much for just being there with me on my journey to ordination. And I would have worn the robe, but it is a little bit warm, and it's at Hillside. So I promise I will wear it here sometime, but it's beautiful, and thank you for buying that for me and giving that as a gift. Thank you. Well, my family, some of you know, recently fostered two kittens from Animal Allies, thanks to my bleeding heart animal enthusiast daughter, Kiki. I was trying to be tough at first, but the cuteness was irresistible. I could watch the two of those kittens wrestle and play and explore all day long. Perhaps puppies are the same way. And what is it about them that draws us to them? Yeah, they're incredibly cute, cuddly, and even smell pretty good most of the time, but there's something more, something deeper there that calls to us. And then there's babies, human little babies. At our Wednesday worship this past month, little Alexander Barnes crawled over to me as I was playing the guitar and just sat at my feet, watching me, mesmerized by the music that was coming out of this wooden thing with strings. I loved watching him take it all in. He was so alert, so alive, seeing through new eyes. That is the deeper call that draws us to those precious new arrivals. They are finally here, and they're taking it all in, breathing, eating, sleeping, crying, smiling, seeing everything for the first time. They're awake. They're alive. And isn't that what life is all about? Isn't that what following Jesus is all about? Being awake, being alive. I think this is what most of us really want, to feel alive, to thrive, to make a difference, to have purpose, to connect. The quest for this aliveness explains so much of what we do. It's why readers read. It's why travelers travel, runners run, thinkers think, dancers dance, and chefs cook. What in your life makes you feel so alive? What are your passions? What are your deepest longings? Where do you find your greatest joy? I think our quest for aliveness is also one of the best things about church. It's why we gather, why we come together, why we pray and celebrate, eat and sing, and contemplate and connect and fellowship. That is why we're sitting here right here today. We want to see God in the world. We want to see hope, joy, love, justice, and we want to be part of it. When people say, "I'm spiritual but not religious," maybe what they mean is, "I'm seeking aliveness. My spirit needs to sing." And perhaps that is what Nicodemus was seeking as well when he said to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the things that you're doing if God were not with him." Nicodemus had been hearing stories of Jesus and had even heard him preach in the temple. He could see there was something different about Jesus, this aliveness that was within him. Being spiritual and a religious man, Nicodemus knew that Jesus couldn't do these things if he was not deeply connected to God. Nicodemus was a seeker too, and he wanted what that Jesus had. So Jesus, as often as he does, he uses familiar illustrations and everyday stuff to try and explain things. He says, "I assure you, No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. I would love to know from each of you what just went through your mind when you heard the phrase, born again. It may resonate for some of you. Maybe some have never heard it, and others may even cringe a little bit. For me, it brings back my childhood church, where the term born again was used to explain true Christians versus fake Christians. It was used to reject. It was used to exclude people. Born again Christians were those people who were following God the right way, according to the doctrines and the teachings of whatever church they were part of. And I'm sorry to tell you that United Methodists were not on the good list. My grandma was a Methodist. She wasn't on the good list. You are not really saved and a true Christian if you weren't born again. And you know what? I believed that for a long time. But now I come away with a different interpretation of Jesus' words found in the passage that you heard today. And I want to reclaim that phrase, born again, as something that resonates with all of us. Jesus compares physical birth to spiritual birth. When we first enter this world, there is a transformation that happens to our bodies. Blood flow, circulation, breathing air, and a bunch of other complicated stuff. When we're born, we enter a new world, and we are awake. Everything is brand new. The sounds, the smells, seeing your parents' faces for the first time. Being born again spiritually means seeing with new eyes, or in other words, a new transformed perspective. It's like we've been sleeping and now we're awake. Instead of seeing my crabby neighbor who always complains when I park too close to her sidewalk, I see a hurting soul who is just thinking about her elderly mom who uses a wheelchair and needs more space to get into her car. Instead of seeing a humongous pile of dirty laundry, I see a beautiful family that I have been blessed with and money to afford clothes. Seeing with new eyes, a transformed perspective, means seeing hope when there is despair. It means seeing forgiveness and reconciliation when there are broken relationships. It doesn't mean we don't see all the hard stuff or dismiss it, but it means seeing all of reality. The kingdom of God, which is here right now, can only be seen when we are transformed and see things in a new way, when we are born again. How can somebody be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb. Thank goodness you can only be physically born once. Annie still has marks on her forehead from when she was stuck in the birth canal for far too long. But no one here is too old to be spiritually born again. Very truly I tell you, Jesus says, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Being born again, seeing things how God sees them, comes from a living relationship with God. Born again doesn't mean a one-time experience of being saved and following the right rules to get to heaven. It is God's Spirit moving in us, working in us, healing our deep wounds, transforming us again and again and again. It takes time, a lifetime, and it's an ongoing transformation. And that is why we're here today. We are seekers. We want to feel alive and alert and have our eyes wide open to see things as God sees them. Things brand new for the first time, like we've never seen them before. A transformed perspective. And as we enter this Advent season, one that comes every year about this time, we wait and prepare for the birth of Jesus. And we're reminded that some people just saw a baby, but some also saw a king, a savior, Emmanuel, a sign that God is with us. Let us open our hearts to God's Spirit today and every day. Let it pour and wash over us. Let it heal those deep wounds that we try to protect and hide. Let it help us to see clearly our deep longings and our passions that fulfill us. And let it transform us so that we may be born again and again and again and see the kingdom of God that is right here and now. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, can I get a ride to Hillside after this?
Absolutely. But you have to greet, because whoever preaches greets at the door. So you can go out there during the last song.
Got it.
Excellent. Okay. Good.